flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to Friday, your last day of January 2025, and boy, does it feel good when you're coming in here, as my partner profoundly tweeted last night, off a 2-0 night in Hoop City. Doesn't it feel good? Grizzlies, Tigers both get the win. Statement games. In a way for both, certainly was for the Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson Jr., a couple of late free throws. You get the W without Ja Morant over the Houston Rockets for the first time this season. You certainly needed to push back. Desmond Bain, who played 40 minutes, said as much after the game that you had to hit back in this regular season series. You did that. And then the Tigers, statement in the sense that, look, Avron B. Fogelman Arena had been a tough place for you and Penny Hardaway's teams the last three times you'd gone down there. And over that last 10 and a half minutes last night, I'll tell you what, Tigers outscored Tulane, John, by 13, 23-10, and end up covering. And I'm interested to see, will the metrics say the Tigers ended up overperforming last night and sort of getting the Tulane monkey, at least the road monkey, off their back last night? Statement win because you stopped the three-game losing streak down in Tulane. Take that, Ron Hunter.
Man, huge. Huge win. Huge wins abound last night. For the Memphis basketball teams. Symbolic wins, certainly. You know, I mean, we could talk about the importance of both. I think both are probably more important symbolically than they are, you know, in terms of late season. But psychologically, I think both teams had to have that last night. Both teams got it. What a nice day. What a nice night. As, yeah, you get the news about Jaren making the All-Star game. Right, we got that over the top. Did not think that was going to happen. We were both very skeptical that he would get the nod over Sabonis.
Knew it would come down to him and Sabonis.
And he did. And credit to, you know, I mean, clearly the coaches show you they value winning over numbers.
3 seed over 10 seed?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. I did not think they would. Because in fairness to him, I mean, his numbers are insane. I mean, they're... You know, I mean, he's averaging basically a triple-double, close to a triple-double, but his team's not good.
That's right.
And Jaren's team is good. And I think that's probably, you know, they probably look at it and say, hey, listen, you know, if Jaren was a Sacramento King, you know, on that Sacramento Kings team.
Get the short end.
You know, he's probably, you know, but he's also probably doing what Sabonis is doing in terms of the numbers, right? Like,
he's not rebounding like that.
Yeah, he probably isn't doing that. But anyway, yeah, I think clearly the Grizzlies' record you know, mattered to the coaches, and that was good to see. That was really good to see. So now, Jaren, a two-time All-Star.
Yes.
And I mean, again, the timing of all this is fantastic because Ja doesn't go and Jaren wins the game.
Right.
He's an all-star and he wins the game on the same night.
Calmly sinks the free throws for you like he's done all season. Had to battle through foul trouble, but he's there for you when you need. And, you know, Ja Morant, who I'm sure at some point we'll talk about, but didn't, you know, and what was going on with him on the sideline. But there at the end, and you, everybody saw the, you know, sort of the shot of it. You know, Jaren coming off after the on-court interview, and Ja's there to dap him up because Jaren has been your leader all year long. On the day he's named an all-star for the second time, he's finishing it off for you. A much-needed win in the sense of regular season wins and important ones. This Absolutely. Was right up there high on the scale, and there he is leading you. I mean, couldn't have had a more appropriate ending than what you had last night down at FedEx Forum. But a shout-out to, because let's be real, Jaren doesn't have an opportunity to win that game through foul trouble if Desmond Bane and those, you know, isn't playing 40 minutes. Dude battled, and they had to battle all night long because – Houston's got those dudes coming at you on the glass all night long, man. Whether, you know, Thompson, Eason, all of them, they were killing you again on the offensive glass. It took every ounce of effort. And that's why, again, you know, good to see Ja acknowledging that to some degree there at the end, but with the dap up of Jaren.
Yeah, that was a fun Come night, on, man. That was a great night in Memphis basketball.
Everybody in there was standing up for most of the end of that, most of it, except for Ja till the very end.
Yeah. So
interesting.
Get to that, I guess. Again, I
Harrington wrote a column about it, so
yeah,
it's news, bro.
Well, I you know, look,
it's unfortunate that right. It's unfortunate that we even have to address that at all or talk about it. You know, you'd prefer not to. You'd prefer to make the story just, hey, nice regular season win over Houston. Jaren's great. Was sort of like you said, symbolic of the great season he's had and how he's really the leader of this team right now. But Ja made it a story, so
right.
At some point we'll address it. I know we will with our guest today. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to. We'll talk about it.
And then
because he's going to be asked about it next time they see him. They've denied access to him the last couple of times, and now you've made this a deal where you're going to have to be. Hey, man, was it just a deal where maybe you're disappointed because you weren't named an all-star? Right. Injury. You're a late scratch in a game that's very important, just in terms of, as Desmond Bane said, we had to do this.
Right.
You know, so I could understand that completely. Or was there more to it than all of that? I mean, look at the numbers.
Yeah, listen,
look at his numbers this season. Many reasons for Ja to be disappointed.
Right.
The point was, he wanted you to know.
That's he did.
Last night.
He did.
How down he is.
We've talked about Ja Morant quite a bit this week, you know, and just how things feel different. I mean, how the joy seems to be sapped a little bit, and you know,
you were discussing that yesterday, right? So this can't be a non-story today after we've discussed it, and then we see last night and what was happening.
Yeah.
So, like I said, was good to see him at the end, acknowledging and dapping up Jaren, because Lord knows if we hadn't seen that, boy.
Yes, but it's page two of the news, right? Page two of the news is Ja Morant, and we'll get to him.
It might be a little sidebar on page.
Yeah, I mean, again.
Harrington's. Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk.
I'll make a judgment on your news judgment.
Okay. Will you be doing it as part of his representation, or as part of the, or John here in the 92.9 role, or are we getting a combined?
Yeah, I think
because hold on. Did you see Harrington's column?
Yes.
Asked Taylor Jenkins about it after.
Yeah, he said he didn't notice anything.
He said he was in the huddle.
Right.
Harrington kept it real.
Right, right, right. No, that's...
No, Marcus Smart and Vince Williams were, and so was Cam Spencer, but not Ja. Ja got up at the end.
No,
and Taylor... So that's what I need to know from the rep, from Ja's rep. So am I going to get... Yeah, okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
To be determined. You got to stay tuned, folks.
Taylor Jenkins got that Trump nominations line of answers. I'm not aware. I didn't see that. You know, just don't know. That's the Trump... And that's how I get you nominated. If you just are asked a question and you just say, I didn't see that, or I don't know what you're talking about, they get you nominated.
So. Taylor and Grind City Media tried to dismiss.
Ooh, okay. Deny, deny, deny.
That's right. And it's not so much deny, it's like not answer, right? It's like, I'm not going to give you anything.
That's the easiest thing to
you
do.
Know,
just
he
not
said he
answer.
Was in the huddle. Encouraging.
Right. Oh, he's saying Ja was in the huddle.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Harrington wrote, with all due respect.
Right, 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 right.
You know, I said I'm paraphrasing, but no, he was not.
Right, 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 right.
Sticking to what his eyeballs told
him. He was in the
him.
Second bench, on the second row of the bench.
Bro, usually we don't even notice folks on the second row.
Right.
You're buried back there.
Yeah.
Bro got on a yellow coat.
And the balaclava.
Shiesty mask.
It wasn't that cold.
No, it wasn't even. It's like 60 outside.
Yeah, it was nice.
Say it again.
Balaclava.
A.K.A. Shiesty Mask.
That's right. That's right. He had the Shiesty Mask on last
Made
night.
Made famous by the great, well, take out Pooh Shiesty.
I think he's about to be free here.
Is
soon.
He?
I think so. I think he's
going to continue on. Didn't he go in with like a number one hit?
Yeah. Yeah. Back in Blood. But I do think he's going to be
the mask popularized by Shiesty. let me just ask you something. Was it cold outside yesterday?
I don't think so. I think it was pretty warm outside.
It was nice. It was all right. I mean, it was raining.
Are we letting? Okay. We're letting the job.
I'll leave it at that.
Overtake.
No, we're not.
The best parts of last night.
He wants you it too.
Well, we're not going to fall into that trap.
You're not going to fall into your client's trap.
We got plenty of time to talk about John Moran.
You're right. You're right.
We got plenty of time to talk
let
about John Moran.
Let me sit back, man.
Because you clearly have thoughts.
You're here. We have things to discuss today.
We all have thoughts on John Moran. Of course we do. We all love him.
I'm glad you did that, though, because you're right what the A should be today.
Yes, the A and should that, be yeah. Anthony's ain't going to join us at 11:25. Parthi Pati going to join us at 1:25. That's the show today. But the A should be, obviously, what the two basketball teams did on the court last night. Both of them incredibly important in their own right. Okay? Let's just go in chronological order. Which game finished first, and then we'll get to the other. Tigers finished first. That game went final first. 68-56. Kobe Rogers gives you 14. Dane Danger gives you 19. I think he gave you a double-double.
He sure did. 19 and 10. Unlocked.
Two straight games now of Dane being inserted into the starting lineup and the University of Memphis winning by double digits. I tend to believe that that is not a coincidence. The best part about that entire thing is that you still got 4 and 6 from Musa, which is probably what you would have gotten from him if he was starting. So you're still getting the same Musa.
You might have gotten 4, and just to be real, 4 and 4, 4 and 5 if he'd started.
It's possible.
I think it's a little fire on him. It's 7 rebounds since he went to the bench right now.
Yeah, yeah.
8 and 6?
Yeah. And so now you elevate not just Musa, but also Dane, who is giving you a completely different look offensively.
You've elevated your offense.
And yes.
Not just him.
And there were moments last night where the offense still bogged down, but like we said it 2 weeks ago when we were advocating for this Dane starting lineup move. There's no team in this league that can guard Dane Danger inside.
We've seen it 2 straight games.
They just can't.
Against 2 of the better teams, at least in the AAC.
Exactly. This is obviously a place Memphis had lost 3 in a row down there. You mentioned it yesterday. Penny has a losing record to Ron Hunter, right?
Of his last 7. Four of the last 7.
He's one.
Now, Penny's evened it up in the last 8, but Penny owned him the first 2 years.
Gotcha, yes.
It was just Ron had been a thorn the last few years, and particularly down there.
Yes, Penny had lost 4 of 7.
Yes.
And 3 in a row down there. And, you know, again, you think about last season, that was kind of like the beginning, the marker
of one of the starts of the
slide.
Yeah.
And so this to me, and we'll get to Grizzlies in just a second, but this to me is just yet another emphasis that when these games matter to the Tigers, and when they play like it matters to the Tigers, you're not beating them in this league. UAB mattered because they were the preseason favorite. FAU mattered because it was the conference opener. We know the history between FAU and Memphis. Last night mattered because we know that Tulane, again, has gotten the best of Memphis down there 3 years in a row. And Penny was going to hype that one up because he didn't want to lose down there again for a 4th straight time. And then double digits victories every single time. Challenges making sure, hey, we got Rice coming up this weekend.
Yeah,
that should matter. They beat you on your home floor last time they played, right? I'm expecting Memphis to win comfortably there. It's like the Tulsa's at home, the Wichita State's on the road. Like, that's going to be where the challenge is, but I came away really happy and really encouraged that the Penny Hardaway revenge tour continued in earnest last night.
Well, I didn't think that this was some blowout win, though, because I'll be real honest with you, with a little bit less than 11 minutes left, I thought Tulane was capable of winning this game.
Certainly. It was,
I'm with you on focus was up. The turnovers were lower.
Yep.
Like, you saw a better effort. But Tulane there, until the last 10 and a half minutes, was absolutely in it and looked like they could win it just because based on what they'd been able to do on the boards and everything else, sort of going along with some of the Tigers' weaknesses this season. That said, though, where I came away the most impressed is the fact that it was Kobe Rogers and P.J. Carter down the stretch. You mentioned the 14 points. All of them came in the last 10 and a half minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Colby had zero up until that point. Had a zero in the first half.
Crazy.
And we're talking 10 minutes through the second half, and then all of a sudden he catches fire. Now, how much of it had to do with Tulane bringing the rope out? Y'all notice that? They talked about it on the broadcast. Tulane court storming procedures. That's how much they believed that this was possible. First, they sent him to Memphis earlier in the week. Crispin and those guys mentioned it. The guys doing the game on ESPN2 broadcast. They sent court storming procedures to Memphis, letting you know, hey, this is going to happen if this goes down. But back to the point, it looked to me like late, and the broadcast made a point of it, you know, they started to bring that rope up or getting in preparation for it, and it looked like it charged up Memphis to me. And certainly Kobe Rogers, it helped light him up. He catches fire. And then P.J. Carter, dude. My point with this, John, is it wasn't P.J. Haggerty, the second leading scorer in the country. You know how you were talking about Tennessee in that Illinois game, how they found a way to win back a couple of weeks ago? And that's what a sign of good teams do? That was Memphis last night in a game you struggled for 30 of the 40 minutes to at least to pull away from them. You had two guys, one of them hadn't hit a thing, and the other one, this increasing role, every time you give him more minutes, he seems to step up to it, were the guys leading you down the stretch. Oh, by the way, there was a nice, sweet set almost, or at least they slowed it down, threw the ball into Dane, who had been a post threat all night long, and what'd he do? Catch Tyrese coming back door. You were running offense there late.
Yep.
Looking a lot, you know, completely different than what you had that first half against Wichita State. Part of it, John, is yes, Dane Danger's in the starting lineup. It's another scoring threat that offenses have got to account for. You see what he's doing in the AAC now. They've unlocked him. But last night, again, good teams find different ways to win. And on a night the second leading scorer in the country had eight, that big second half that's come all year long didn't come. Dude, Kobe Rogers and P.J. Carter were leading you down the stretch and pulling away, John, to cover.
Exactly.
Which right. You love.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I actually did bet Memphis last night.
So that makes it an overperform, no? In terms of your metrics and all
straight.
That? It's straight. Exactly.
Two straight overperforms, and you get the three spot bump at KenPom.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you didn't get it in the net, but you got it at KenPom. So,
you overperformed because of the stretch at the end.
And you know what? Hey, that's...
Kobe hit them 14.
That's
what you brought him in for, right?
That's exactly right.
I mean, he's over there saying, you're Kobe freaking, you know, Kobe Rogers.
That's right.
And boom, guy catches fire.
And that's what Memphis is supposed to do, right? Maybe they can hang with you for 20 minutes. Maybe they can hang with you for 30. But at the end of the day, your talent should separate.
These teams whose effort are going to be to the level where they're hoping to court storm on you. I mean, we literally saw the story.
At midcourt when he was up 26-20. He was dancing.
Yeah, Memphis got the good run after that, and I think 9-0 to finish it off. Now, Tulane came back and took control in the second half for a minute, which surprised me because I'm with you. I thought Hernan had blown it in the first half with the whole dancing and the overconfidence thing.
Yes.
But credit to Tulane.
They did punch
which
back.
Just gives you all kinds of problems down there, no matter what kind of season they're having. And I told you, Penny and those guys, they talked about it on the broadcast too, would have cut out that bulletin board material after Tulane played Florida State. And Ron Hunter said, with all due respect to Memphis, Florida State's the best team on our schedule. They talked about Penny pointing that out to them and how they had used that as motivation. Again, it took till the final 10.5 minutes, but boy, was it a good 10.5 minutes. They caught fire offensively. Thank you, Kobe Rogers.
So a fantastic night for the Memphis Tiger basketball team as they go down to a place where they've historically struggled. And they moved back to 7-1, back to first place.
You just said the key word, we move.
You move.
You go to Houston, you play Rice.
That's right. And you're going to be a big favorite.
You took care of business. And got, like you said, you got a nice bump at KenPom.
That's right.
You know, something you're not going to get on most nights in this
It goes
season.
To show you that, you know, when it is on the road, you get more credit. Because you far more overperformed against UAB, but you didn't get that bump.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because it was at home. I guess it just values the road overperforms a little more. And then last night, inside FedEx Forum. So you get the Tiger Dub, you put that in your pocket, and then you're in a war. You're in an absolute war. As you probably expected, no Ja Morant, no Sengun for Houston. So you do catch a little bit of a break. I mean, a big break there because he killed you in a couple of those meetings. But you're in a war there on TNT. Houston has the lead there late. And Jaren Jackson Jr., who is, you know, who gets the All-Star nod earlier in the day, gets fouled. Dylan Brooks sixth, right? That's the best part. He fouls out. So you draw the six.
After he's been screaming at the crowd and looking pretty darn good, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, he's
that 3-point play late, I thought they were about to bury us.
But, you know, sometimes you got to leave your situation to become a different person.
Oh, yeah, that no question.
You know?
We were never going to get that version of Dylan here ever again.
Nope. Nope. And that's why, you know, I don't.
Because of the history here.
I don't spend a lot of time, but, you know, lamenting it.
But
you know
shout
I mean?
Out to Ime, you know.
Yeah.
Because maybe not every coach gets this version of Dylan.
Totally not.
He's got them, you know, playing in his culture.
But Jaren steps to the line, basically under 20 seconds and absolutely drills.
Yeah, I think it was 8.1.
Yeah, 8.1 seconds and drills both free throws to give the Memphis Grizzlies the psychological win, too.
What? How crazy is it? And it hadn't occurred to me to stop here, but I never thought for a second he was going to miss.
I didn't either.
I mean, he's a big who shoots well from the free throw line, but here's a moment right here where, you know, if it's anybody else up there in terms of guys his size, typically you might be a little more. He just goes up there and nails him. Again, the leader he's been all year. Symbolic's the word you use to start it off. It's what it was. I mean, and steps through for you, comes through foul trouble there, and is able to step up and bury him, without a doubt.
Yeah, and Bane had one of his better games of the year.
You play 40 minutes, the dude was, I mean, he was bowled over. He was on, you know, hands on knees. That's how tired he was, and giving you everything he's got on a night where you're just, again, you're getting pounded on the glass, John.
Yep.
They're athletes, and what they can run at you, and Thompson's right there at the top of it. You can't match that, you know? Zach Edey, just unable to be effective for long stretches against a team like that. You see Thompson blocked them like twice on the same play.
Yep.
They just come at you like dogs, and you are having a hard time matching that intensity inside. Now, I think you still outscored them 72-50 in the paint, but on that offensive glass, like 18-9. And that at the very end, John, you had the free throws by Jaren, but, you know, thank goodness it was a Van Fleet shot rather than Jalen Green going to the back, you know, to the glass, because it felt like he could, I'm with Charles, felt like he could get that if he wanted to. But in the end, you had to finish it off with the tap out because of the way Houston can attack the offensive glass, and especially the way they can do it against you.
Shaq had some weird comments after the game where he almost said, like, he still feels better. Like, I don't remember exactly.
He felt better about the Grizzlies than he does Houston. He said he's more concerned. I thought he said he's more concerned as in they're more of a threat.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what it was.
And which I think confused Charles and Kenny because
yes,
I think that, coming
yes,
out.
It confused me.
Because I'm with you because I was listening to it too, and I think coming out it confused Charles and Kenny because I thought their takeaway was
sense.
This Houston team is tough.
Because Shaq's point was that they did it without Ja, right? They maintained the grit and all the things.
But again,
that they do
Houston was out Shingu.
Yeah, I mean,
part of why they got outscored 72-50 in the paint.
Yes.
But imagine if he's in there. And then what that offensive glass might have looked like then.
Yes. Because
they still killed you on that.
Yeah, I mean, dude, the Rockets are a freaking problem, bro.
They're a matchup issue because of what they are around that rim with that athleticism, the way they go at it.
That's a seven-game series if the Grizzlies play the Rockets.
Well, I think everybody up on that panel agreed last night that was a series you'd like to see. There's an intensity level there. I mean, just Dylan Brooks screaming at the crowd. That's the kind of stuff you want to, you know, you feel in the playoffs. And it had that type of feel.
We need that bad.
We got to get through the first one first.
And obviously, like, the Rockets got to continue to hold up their end of the bargain and be
a Rockets
got to
hold up their end, too. You're right. And then get through a first round.
Yeah.
If it's going to be 2-3 like this.
But, man, I would be some
exciting stuff.
That would be like a Clippers, like a vintage Clippers-Grizzlies series back in the day with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and those types.
I don't know about y'all, but I come away from that game. You get the win, but I still feel like, and I feel like I've been, you know, a little bit on an island here. Maybe there's a few with me, but. Do you not come away from that ahead of this trade deadline believing that, you know, you've got to get some help around the glass? You know, a big?
Yeah.
I know we have focused on wing.
Because Edie's not playing.
If there's a wing that's out there averaging 9 to 10 rebounds, I'll take a listen. But right now, because Edie can't play in games like that, do you not see them flying at the glass? It's like Ime knows. It's like he's told these guys around the basket, on paper it looks good, but we got them. We're a bad matchup for them. You have got, because you could very well face this team in the playoffs. Don't you have to make a move to try to shore that up?
Mm-hmm.
Huff's not going to be enough. And here's the thing. Marcus and Vince, they bring toughness. Yeah, it'll help you in a game. But they don't stop those guys from crashing that glass, do they? Maybe, you know, they'll get a body or two on a guy. But, you know, they're not above the rim rebounders here. You know, between, again, you got Jaren, Edie, and Huff, and you're asking a ton of Brandon Clark to go out there and match that up. And right now, man, Houston has pounded it. So I'm just saying, again, maybe the help needs to come in the form of shoring up your front court. I don't know whether it's athleticism or just frank bigness, but the options seem limited.
Yes.
You don't hear a lot of those names that might be, you know, on the block, but That was my takeaway. They did it to you again.
Yep.
You just, you know, and yes, some of these games have been close, but boy, is there a way to stem that, to curb that a little bit?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't know
that you can do it with this roster, even with guys back. I don't know that G.G. Jackson, even at full strength, stops that. You know, not at this point in his career. Maybe he can be that for you.
Right.
But Dave, the way he's got them crashing like some dogs, boy, it is an issue.
Yep.
18-9 on the offensive glass.
Absolutely. So, I mean, again, both for the Tigers and the Grizzlies last night, much needed.
19-8.
Huge wins. 19-9. For both of those teams. All right, we will come back. Anthony Sankin will join us. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, about Ja Morant, and more. Jason and John, I just trying to film.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN.
Anthony Sane is the host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. Can now be seen, Aaron, every Sunday night on Fox 13, 11:30 p.m. So he's everywhere now, all forms of media, and it was always destined to be so. Make sure you're checking it out, the underground king of Memphis sports media, tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect, Gabriel Sane. You can follow him on X at Sane Asylum. He joins us now after a big Grizzlies win last night. How about, and I think we'll start here properly, Jaren Jackson Jr., your Western Conference All-Star, finishing off that thing at the free throw line last night for a big one.
Man, that's my guy, man. Y'all know I've been standing on Jaren Allen for a while. I had to tell y'all this year, I said, this is going to be Jaren's year. He's going to be the best player on the team. Nobody want to hear it. Jaren been going off this year, having a great career. Just a great All-Star nod, man. And if you just look how things are going, you're talking about a guy who's probably going to be right there when you're talking about, you know, All-NBA team as well. He'll be in the hunt for Defensive Player of the Year. I think Wimby's going to end up getting that. But
oh, yeah.
Jaren is having a phenomenal year. Just the leap he's taken offensively, man, to be a guy that you can – because, you know, people's knock has always been he shoots too many threes and, you know, he doesn't get down low or whatever. And he's – you know, one of the best paint scorers in the NBA, one of the best ISO scorers in the NBA. The fact that a guy who's 7 foot, you know, what, 300 pounds, and can put the ball on the ground the way he does and find his shot in the paint has just been phenomenal. It's something – he's a rare type of scorer in the NBA, man.
He is.
A guy who doesn't really have much of a mid-range game but can take the ball off the dribble literally from coast to coast and get to the basket, you know, the way that he does has been phenomenal for this team. And he's just so professional. He's becoming a leader. I remember as far as when I was covering the team in the locker room, just the transition of going from the Zach Randolphs, Marc Gasol, Tony Allen, Mike Conley team, and then seeing this 7-foot gangly, weird, immature kid in the locker room for the first time. It was such a culture shock, media-wise, seeing Jaren is rookie year Jaren, right? When you ask him a question, he starts talking about, I don't know, music or Dragon Ball or Pokemon. He just started talking about this. You asked him a question.
He just enjoyed talking back then.
Right. He just started talking about anything, right?
He would.
Talking about, you know, Caesar salads and all this. Like, just crazy. Because he was a kid. It was so strange seeing him, seeing somebody that young and immature in the locker room compared to what we were used to. So we didn't have rookies really at all hanging around.
That reminds me of Gigi last year when we'd see him in the interviews. There was that kind of giddiness with Jaren early. Yeah.
But to see him become the leader he's been, not just for this team, but for the league, you know, the social things he stands up for.
Yep.
And all those type of things. During the pandemic, he was big about pandemic relief and getting the vaccine and voting and all these type of things. And I joke about him being, you know, the modern day Bill Russell. But if you start thinking about it, Jaren, if anybody is, you know, Jaren's definitely in that group of guys who are, you know, more than just, you know, players on the court. And just to see it pay off for him this year as an all-star, the last all-star bid, he kind of felt like he was tagging along, but he feels like a guy who's leading that reserve core as being one of the better players on that Western Conference all-star reserve team. And just to see him last night, not just the big free throws, but just big buckets he made down.
Battle through foul trouble.
Yeah.
Did it through five.
He hit some big shots in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And we pulled out that win yesterday. And as a Jaren Jackson Jr. fan, as a unapologetic Jaren Jackson Jr. fan, I'm excited to see him get his flowers this year for sure.
Yeah, I was a little – I mean, I didn't think that he would get the nod because, I mean, those Sabonis numbers are amazing. So I was glad to see that the coaches said, yeah, dog, like, you know.
Yeah, coaches know who they play. They know who they scout for.
Some ass.
Yeah, so, and the Kings, you know, they start off the season really bad. I thought Sabonis would get in. I'm a little surprised that Jalen Williams got in. He's having a great season, but I'm still a little surprised that he got in. I probably would have had Norman Powell over James Harden as well.
Is Norman Powell having that kind of season, bro?
Yeah, he's going off, bro. Like he's averaging 20 something.
I think he's their leading scorer. Yeah. I know he's averaging more than Harden who got in.
Yeah. He's going off.
He's having a career year.
He didn't
NBA Today had him on. They were trying to push it for him. ESPN was trying to push it.
Dude, Norman Powell has been a good player in the league for a long time.
He was on most people's ballots to be in there.
And if you remember when Toronto won the championship, he wasn't even playing. Like he wasn't even part of their rotation.
If you were going to take a Clipper, he should have been the one you took.
That's true.
I was actually shocked. Now I know James Harden's had a good year.
I texted John. I told you. Powell should have been on there over Harden. He's the rep from the Clippers you should have taken.
Yep. Yeah. But I was glad to see it, man. It was well deserved. And it makes, you know, we were talking about it yesterday. You can't win a championship if you don't have any all stars. So, Grizz got an all star now.
We're in the hunt.
I need to ask your thoughts on this. How much potentially, and do they move the needle? How much do they move the needle if you bring back Marcus Smart and Vince Williams and you drop them into a game like yesterday or you know, consistently anywhere throughout this series? How much different is what's happening on the glass, like what's happening around the rim? Can they change that, Sane, or do you have to do something to address this before the deadline?
Possibly. Sometimes, like, rebounding.
Is it just a matchup issue?
Sometimes rebounding does come from toughness, whether it's from your bigs, from your guards, regardless. Because I've seen Vince Williams go out there and get a ton of rebounds. John Conchar.
And box folks out.
Right. John Conchar is a hell of a rebounder, and he's 6'5". You know what I mean?
Well, he can't save us.
He can't save us. I don't want that.
No,
to be
sir. That's not the answer.
But I don't know, man.
Give him a chance. Just give him a chance.
Nope.
I don't know. Like, I think that regardless of how we play Houston, if Zach Edey isn't a guy who's ready for the playoffs, we're going to struggle on rebounding. We just have to be good at what we're good at. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the things where you're probably going to suffer against a team like Houston in the playoffs regardless.
Because to your point, against most everybody else, they're one of the best rebounding teams in the league for the most part, especially on the offensive glass.
Right.
It's this Houston matchup.
And that's not just – but that's because we're a team rebounding team. Everybody gets out and gets rebounds. So – but that Houston team on their wings and their guards, they're just so tough, man. That
athletic and doggish.
They remind you of, like, you know, those Detroit Bad Boy teams, but yet they can get up and down and score, too. So that team is really, really good, man. Like, that team is going to be scary good in the West for years to come. Like, they're super young. They're super tough. And then you figure, even if they do some type of consolidation trade, they're even going to get better. But Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks have definitely added – a nice little stimulus of toughness to that team.
Yeah, professionalism and toughness.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I was telling him.
And the Emay touch.
That would be like the old Clippers-Grizzlies series if we can get that one.
That's our rival. If we get those guys in the playoffs, and all roads are pointing to that happening, because no matter what happens, you know, the Grizzlies in Utah, they're staying right there next to each other. I think they're like a half game away from each other now. It does seem like that no matter how the season plays out, that's going to be your 2 and 3 in some type of order. So that's your 2 and 3. They both win their first round matchup. Round two, that's it. Like, that's your matchup. So I will be down for that for sure. I think it'd be a – I'm a fan of – the league moving on to the next wave of teams. And I think that a series like that can just make you really think the league's in good hands, because your second round matchup could very well be, you know, Oklahoma City versus Denver, something like that, which would be another good matchup, you know what I mean, a passing of the guard type thing with Denver or whatever. So I think the league is in good hands, and I think we're setting up for some good playoff series. I just want to be able to answer the bell, man. Like, we got to get out of the first round, bro. Like, I've got a lot of things that make me worry about this team getting out of the first round. But I think if we can get there, Houston can get there, I think it'll be a great series in round two.
I want to go a little bit back to the All-Star, to Jaren,
mm-hmm.
Who you love. And I saw there was that fatherly pride because you were posting about him on Facebook.
My guy,
like,
man.
Post about him like your
like
son.
Like it was Gabe or something.
Yeah, I'm just – if I said that this is his team right now, would that be blasphemy?
Oh, that's an undeniable truth as far as, like, in the moment. Like, this is Jaren's team. I'm kind of annoyed by – there's a lot of, like, and a guy said this on Twitter, and I'm glad he said it. I can't remember what he said. He said, man, as a pure Jaren fan, it kind of sucks that everything people are saying about Jaren seems like a backhanded stab at Ja as well. And I'm totally with that, too, because there are things people say, like, you know, somebody said Jaren's best ability is his availability. Like, that's not true. Like, that's not the best thing about Jaren.
It's a good ability, though.
Yeah, it's a good ability, but it's not
especially
his best.
From where he's been.
Yeah, exactly. And Jaren's a heck of a player, man. And like I said, It's really difficult to kind of explain some of the things you see going on with Ja. And I'm sure one of your questions is, what's wrong with him? But what did I think about yesterday?
Oh, we were getting there.
And it's just – all that is just – it's just such a silly conversation to be having at about 25-year-old Ja Morant. You know what I mean? And it's like you kind of have to ride this line where you don't want to destroy the kid because he's a very vital part of not only this team's success – but this city's success is based a lot on Ja Morant. And it's bigger than Grizzlies winning and losing games. Ja Morant is a big part of the lifeblood of this system as far as economics and a lot of things are concerned. Because you still have your very casual fans who I was talking to a friend who's a very casual Grizzlies fan. And the conversation was not, you know, the Grizzlies beat Houston. It was, what's wrong with Ja? Like, and that's, like, do I think he's going to be available for the playoffs? Or, you know, do I think he's going to have a long career, all those type of things? Because he's such a big deal of a player, man. You know what I mean? And he's got a lot of things that are pulling on him, that are pulling on his time, pulling his attention. And I don't want to get too much into that. But, yeah, to answer your question, obviously this is becoming Jaren's team this year. You know, but those type of things, they switch. They swap out. Because if you would ask anybody last year even, they would say that – Desmond Bane is the leader of this team. And you don't hear people too much saying that at all. They're saying it's Jaren's team now. So those type of things, you know, they change a lot. So, but as we speak today, yes, this is clearly Jaren's team. But I'll also say this, man. Like I said that in order for this Grizzlies team to be as good as possible, Jaren has to be the leading scorer. I've said those type of things. But I also feel like in order for this Grizzlies team to be as good as possible, that Ja Morant has to be the leader of this team. Like, he has to be a mature, disciplined leader of this team in this organization. Like, whether he's the best, whether he's the leading scorer or any of those type of things, Ja has to take the leadership realm of this team. We have to go down swinging with Ja as our leader, whether he's the leading scorer. And I've always felt that that's the case. So I'm pulling that Ja gets this stuff together because something's not right. Like, what that not right is, that's been debatable. It's been a topic of discussion for weeks, you know, in Grizz media, Grizz social media, all those type of things. But like I said, I'm just hoping he gets it together because something's not there at all right now. So.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, he's 25. And so, you know, I don't want to, like, so psychoanalyze too much. But, you know, there have been games where he's, like, front and center.
Mm-hmm.
Right, where he's jumping up and down, and he's, you know,
even if he's not playing,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, even if he's not playing, and so, like, I don't know, I don't have any information.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It may be nothing. It may just be like bro's in a bad mood, like which he's
people do have those.
Yeah, like he's allowed to be in a bad mood,
mm-hmm.
or it could be something that needs to be fixed organizationally. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I mean, it could, mm-hmm. and I know that's going from sort of one extreme to the other. But I don't know, whatever it is, like, please fix it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that could be going on, man. Like, as humans, you have to understand that, like, a lot of the talk coming into the season was, oh, man, I've got Ja Morant as my league MVP. Like, I've got – this is a I think Ja's going to go crazy and be a league MVP.
Yep.
And he's watching, like, the real MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, scoring almost 30 points a game. And he's just, you know, just taking over, just having these monster games, winning big games, top team in the West, all those type of things. And he's, you know, this is happening on Ja's watch. That's a guy that's past Ja. He's watching guys like the Jalen Greens of the world, the Amen Thompson kid,
hit the shot the other night, talking about, feel like Kobe.
Yeah, you're seeing guys, a lot of guys that were under Ja's thumb for a while, just kind of do their thing, man. Anthony Edwards, all these guys, you know, just kind of coming out that have came into the league after Ja, that are just getting a lot of this recognition. And I'm sure that's something he definitely has to deal with, man, especially in – and I talked about this on my show. Go check it out, Anthony Sane Show on YouTube. This is something I definitely talked about this week, is that you can feel a way about something and that's because that's natural, but also not particularly feel a way about it, if that makes any sense. Like, Ja can feel like, okay, I'm really not able to score in this new offense the way I was at first. It's not as easy. There's – when they rebound the ball, whoever gets the ball, they get it and they go down court. And that used to be me. Every time they got the rebound, they would give it to me. I would score off of rebounds a lot in transition. I always had the ball in my hand. I could do whatever. I was setting screens, all that. I'm still getting my points, but I'm not scoring as easy. But I'm also not mad at that because other guys really look good. Our offense is really clicking overall because of this offense. But still, I feel a way because me personally, I'm not looking like Ja. It's not as easy as me to be 12. So you can feel a way and not feel a way at the same time. A part of him can be like, Jaren Jackson Jr., that's my man. We came into this together, eating chicken tenders at Summer League. You know what I mean? That's my guy. It's always been my dog. And I'm seeing him do well. He's an all-star. I'm not an all-star. I'm not mad at Jaren, but I do feel a way that I'm not that dude no more. Like, and that's just natural. But that don't mean he feels a way towards Jaren. You know what I mean? But he does feel a way that that's my guy, but I'm not that dude no more. Like, that's a natural feeling, especially when you've got machines like Nike behind you and the lead behind you, and you can't string games together because you're always getting hurt, and you're having really weird injuries, and you're getting fouls, and you're not getting the fouls you want, and you're hearing people call SGA a foul merchant, like, hey, I want to be a foul merchant too, you know what I mean? Those type of things. I'm sure there's a lot of things going inside of Ja Morant's head, but at the end of the day, he still has to be mature. He has to still be an adult. He still has to be a leader, and like I said, there are people there. If you think that the things Ja was doing last night was not for attention, you're crazy. Because we've been around Ja long enough to know that he's intentional about everything that he does. Like the whole getting off of Twitter thing. Like, yeah, first of all,
don't play the unaware stuff.
Right, Ja's
very aware.
Right, just because Ja got off of Twitter, like what's it called?
X.
Now, what did he do?
Deactivation.
Right, just because he deactivated his page, he can still go on Twitter and still go look at stuff. He wants to go look at stuff, but he's still on Instagram, so he's clearly still on social media. The fact that he deactivated his page, he knew that people would, you know, try to add him, and they would say that this account doesn't exist anymore, and it would be a story. Like, those are things that Ja is just going to do because he's toxically involved into social media stuff. You know what I mean? Like, we joked about how Ja has liked tweets of mine or said stuff to me or said stuff to other fans, and that stuff is cool. But like I said, if I had the choice to where people would either leave our players alone to be nice to them or none of our players were on social media at all, I would choose that none of them are on social media at all because I'd rather these guys not care about what anybody has to say as far as it's concerned. But I hope Ja gets this stuff together because we have to be a tight unit. Like, those three guys have to be tight, and he's got to be a leader for his team. And I'm dying laughing looking at him. Like you said, it's 60-something degrees outside. He's got this huge yellow snow jacket on.
Bro, it was warm as hell outside yesterday.
And the sights to on, and like some pants that look like scrubs, and like some yellow shoes. I like, Ja, you are hilarious.
It wasn't even cold.
Yeah, at all.
Talking about he don't want us looking at
him. It was a statement he was sending, bro. I don't know what
he was boycotting league officiating.
Maybe.
After the next
game. I mean, I do think, like, we've talked about, like, and again, I said we're not going to psychoanalyze and I'm about to, like, do that.
He makes us do this.
It's so silly, though, man. It's like we just beat a team
it's silly he's but right, he
does,
that we're here.
He does kind of want you to know, though. Like, he wants you to know he's feeling some type of way.
He took a shiesty hat out there and he's not gonna tell you the whole game.
But, like, you know, you think about the stuff, like, you know, you look at Ja when he came in the league, and maybe this is true of any player, but that dude was out there like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know how happy he was. But then, you know, you throw in the, you know, oh, now you're a face of the league and the franchise, so you got to wear that expectation and stress. Then you have the off the court. Then you have the injuries. Then you have this new offense that, like, maybe you don't necessarily love that much. So I'm sure it's a combination of all, you know, he's he lost an aunt that was super close to him, you know, so I'm sure it's just he's growing up and we're seeing it, right?
Yeah.
We have not seen that a lot in Memphis, right? A kid that comes in at 19 and becomes like Power's ready to get out by this time.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so I think this is still kind of new for us in a way.
We're watching one in Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah. That's true. That's
right there on the same team, do it a different way.
And sometimes what you think you're ready for and what you think you want, once you actually get those things, you're not really ready for it. Like everybody's like, you know, yeah, I want to be the star. I want the shoe deal. I want the everybody's just not wired for that. And
Jaren's dad was in the league. Like, don't forget, you know.
Both of his parents are pros.
Right.
And I was going to say there's a difference there in terms of experience and how you've raised.
Right.
Ja's life
being prepared for the starter.
And part of him being, right, so aware, Jaren, his awareness, not just of what's going on in basketball, but that's his upbringing. Right. He was brought up to be a
pro. Ja's life went from 0 to 100.
Right. And
overnight.
He went from being a guy playing on the second court in a you know, AAU tournament to NBA rookie superstar in 3 years.
Exactly right.
He went from like not being not being a guy who even was going to get a D1 scholarship.
I think people forget that
he would be
like,
frustrated.
And he also something else too. We're forgetting that Ja Morant stood in front of all of us with microphones to his mouth and said, "I've got some mental health issues that I'm still trying to process." Like that happened. Like he sat there and he said, I don't deal with stress well at all, and I'm trying to find ways to deal with the stuff I'm dealing with.
Yep.
And me at 45, that's a struggle for me, so I'm imagining what that's going through if I was 25 and a millionaire. Now, I'm not here to really make a lot of excuses for Ja because he still has to take reign and take control of his own life, including his mental health. That's why I don't really get into the conversations that fans have about how we should conduct ourselves towards players online, because at the end of the day, they have to be responsible for their own mental health. They have to know, okay, I don't need to be on here. Like, let me log off or let me ignore y'all. And as somebody who deals with the same type of things, I don't know how to ignore people all the time. So I'm either just going to put the phone down, or I'm going to block you so you're not going to say anything else to me. Like, that's something that's a level of maturity that Josh still has to get. But like I said, I'm pulling for him because we absolutely have to have him to be whatever we're going to be. And I just hope that the team just continues to do things to keep him engaged, to, you know, just kind of deal with him in a way that we can get the best version of him going forward for the rest of the season.
Man, I was just sitting there wondering, as you're saying, like, who in that organization is that guy, you know? Because it feels like we said, I don't know if there's someone like a Pat Riley, maybe they come in, hey, Ja, man, something's bothering you. We got to hit this because what we can have is, yes, you're bothered, But you're letting everybody know about it, and that becomes a disruption. Because the story last night should have been the Grizzlies getting that win against Houston, right? And this is an issue for us. So, I mean, are the Grizzlies missing someone in that organization to sort of get that message across? Like, what is their responsibility in this? You're right, Ja's got to man up, be accountable. But what's their responsibility in this in terms of holding him accountable?
For one, I think they play with Ja too much. Like, that's just an old, you know, South Memphis term. Like, you can't play with your kids.
Is it that or trying to, you know, keep him happy and comfortable they keep him in Memphis?
It's a fine line between that.
They're trying to figure it out.
I think you got to have somebody that kind of gives him some tough love and kind of does some reinforcement. Somebody's got to be a bad cop, whether that's an Anthony Carter, whether that's, you know, whatever they're doing. And you know, you got to think about this, too. In the last year, some of the best things came out of Ja's mouth when Derrick Rose was a part of this organization. And I don't know.
Yeah, I thought about him as I asked the question.
I don't know where they at as far as their personal relationship, but if you got to pay him to, they got a lot of people they pay just to kind of be around. If you got to do whatever you got to do to have that guy around and close to this bench, you know, I would do those type of things as well. Because Josh, he's just a different case, man. Like, he's not Jaren, he's not Dez. He's just different, bro. And like I said, he's the type of kid who will come out there, you know, with this huge yellow coat on and the shiesty on and, you know,
you could see him from the nose,
right? And I, you know, I had some people say, "Well, he looks like he's sick, man. He might got that bug that's going around. It may be." But
yeah,
Ja is hilarious, bro. Ja is absolutely hilarious. But it's like we just have to, you know, you have people saying that this is all part of. There's nothing wrong with him all last night. This is part of I'm protesting the league because the league doesn't protect me thing. And I'm like, all right, bro. Even if that's the case, why let your team down? Like, go hoop. Even if that's what you're doing, just go hoop. But it's a strange case, man. But like I said. Like I said last time I was on here, I just want this season to be normal, man. It's just another example of abnormality that this team is having.
All he had to do was look normal then.
Jason is staunchly against the
That's the
dad
that does, man. That's the father does. Like, yeah. Seeing the stuff that John's doing. Like,
and you be wearing loud-ass sweatshirts in here. I mean, that's very out of pocket for you.
Say and I are both from Memphis. If CJ had that on the first half, I would have walked down to – if you don't take that dumb off your head.
Right.
That's what I would have said. I mean, that's just what I would have said.
So for you, it's the combination of the hoodie this man, and the balaclava.
He then wore it through the shiesty mask. Yeah. He then wore it – what do you call it? Balaclava.
Yeah.
I thought that was like baklava. Is that a Greek food?
That's the sign.
And then the
balaclava. And, yeah.
What y'all call it? Shiesty?
What they call it. Is what he. I call it. It's a shiesty mask.
Yeah, but it's technically like a military like whatever. But yeah, shiesty mask for short.
He then says, "I'm gonna wear it through the third and through the fourth."
Right.
In the yellow coat still.
Right, right, right.
I'm not coming out of it.
No, you have the same yellow coat.
That he might have been protecting himself, you know, from everything. Might have just been masking up.
That's right.
But that was not. We know illness was not on the.
We don't know
injury report. No, yes, we do. It was a shoulder last night.
He has had the illness though. He has had the illness on. He has been on the injury report for illness.
If he got what you got, it could show linger.
That's what I'm saying.
It's gonna be show lingering for sure.
It lingers, bro. I'm always protective of Ja, and I just.
Oh, me too, man.
I hope that he.
He still gotta get his stuff together though, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be a
distraction. Right.
You can't be a distraction.
Everybody's dealing with something.
Because you got Taylor out here gaslighting folks.
Yeah, acting like ain't nothing happened.
Oh, yeah, he was right there in the huddle, drawing up the play.
Lies.
Yeah, nah, dog. He was not, bro. He was sitting in the
That's
stands.
That Grind City spin
you
right there.
You remember when John had the clipboard and had the polo shirt on? It was like he was coaching one time. You remember that?
Yes. Yeah, Taylor acted like that's what he was doing last night.
Exactly.
Nah, bro, he was getting concessions in the third row.
We hard on Taylor. They screwed him at the end of that game. He did not call timeout.
Oh, that was crazy, bro.
Anticipated the timeout, as Kenny Smith put it. Best way he did, thought he'd called that when he's motioning. Come on, let's go. And they about screwed Taylor. Because let's be real, everybody in Memphis thought he probably called that joker after what we had seen from him earlier. So we were watching.
That man cannot win. He calls timeout when he's not supposed to. And he doesn't call a timeout. They still give a timeout.
And they gave him one. He had a right to burn through that referee.
He's all shaky coach. We call a timeout for him.
He tore him up, too.
Timeout Taylor.
Yeah, no tech. Timeout Taylor.
He deserved to get it out.
Oh,
on
no
that
question.
One. Yeah, no tech.
I'm glad they didn't take him up. I was worried about
that. I'm glad it didn't cost him because then you still end up getting set up and it sets up the Jaren free throws. But if it had not, boy, we'd been talking about
they would have teed him up. We would have rioted.
For sure.
I mean, because that's
especially after looking at it on the thing.
And I think they realized that early on. They're like, we can't team. All right, real quick before we get you out of here, you come in here today. You know, you've done it before. You've had your prime hoodie on. We're in basketball season now, and you've got your 1 cent hoodie on. 17-4, 7-1 in the American. How about them Tigers?
Hey, this ain't your little cousin Penny Hardaway team, bro. It's a new era, man.
New era.
New era. Penny, man, like Penny been, you know, on this piece, man, letting y'all know.
Yep.
It's transparency, man, letting y'all know. Man, I ain't know what I was doing, man, for about a good 5-6 of them things, man.
I like it.
Hey, I done figured this junk out now. Y'all done messed around and let Penny figure it out.
I understand it now. I feel like he's liberated,
yeah.
We're getting the best version of him.
Because he been kind of,
He let it go, man.
He been kind of faking it till he make it, bro. Like, you know, acting like he didn't have an attitude like he knew what he was doing. But we knew Penny was struggling, bro. We knew Penny had some stuff he had to figure it out. He ain't figured it out now. Like, he's got the formula. And I think next year's recruiting, you're going to see a little bit more talent, you know what I mean, probably on this team. But he's got a nice little chemistry. He knows it's more about the chemistry than anything. He knows that, you know, you can't play around with these kids and you can't make deals with the devil. And I ain't going to lie. I just like having a team where I actually like the best players on the team because of David Jones, never. That dude irked me last season.
Yeah, he was hard. He was tough.
These kids are a good group of kids, man.
Yep.
It seems like everybody genuinely likes each other and they're rooting for each other.
They grind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'm not concerned at all about this team collapsing. They're going to have losses, but they might not. You know, they might run the table the rest of the way. But
they could. I mean, last year's team, you kind of hated because you knew, like, they could only win one way if they scored 100.
Right.
You know, like, they couldn't lock down and guard, you know?
Last night I went to bed kind of early. I was a little tired. When I woke up and saw, you know, the two Doves, the Tigers and the Grizzlies, I said, yeah, it's a lot of maturity on both ends.
No question.
Pull out those wins. I'm proud of what Penny's doing. I think they're fine. Just get into the tournament, see what happens. I don't really care about the seeding. They've had a heck of a season, man. So I'm really happy to see what they're doing.
Yeah.